This morning's readings are filled with consolations. First reading, we hear about the proclamation of the gospel and the power of healing. We hear about hope in the second reading and joy. In the gospel, Jesus promises that those who love him, that God will fully reveal himself to them and abide with them, and that they will know eternal life, the life that Jesus himself knows in the Father. When I was thinking about all those consolations promised us, I thought of St. Ignatius of Loyola and his spiritual exercises, because he talks a lot about consolation. And he says that each one of us on our path of discipleship, our path to the kingdom of God, we need those consolations to keep going, to know that God is with us, to know that we are on the right path, to experience his extraordinary love for us, to stay strong in the faith. But Ignatius also talks about desolation, the times when we don't feel God's presence, the times when we feel that love is far away, the times that we feel caught in the dark night. But Ignatius would say that those experiences of desolation are as important and needed as experiences of consolation. And that's always hard to hear, because I just want the Lord to always be close. I want to feel the unending consolation of God's love for me. I want the spiritual path to be easy. But Ignatius and all the other mystics in the church would say that if we never had desolations, we would fall into complacency. Just as if we never had consolations, we'd probably fall into despair. And so when I feel that God isn't close, when I pray and it seems that God is terribly silent, when I feel caught in the dark night, I need to remind myself, as the mystics again remind us, that God is so bright that God's light often appears to us as darkness. That God's presence is so profound that that presence often appears to us as absence. That God's consolation is so deep and desirous of our salvation that at times God allows us to hang in that dark night in order to be purified in our faith. And so in the second reading, Peter talks about hope, but he also talks about suffering. In the season of Easter, then, we drink in that deep consolation of the Holy Spirit, the profound truth that God indeed loves us, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and that life is completely different for us because of that astounding fact, that we know forgiveness and the promise of eternal life, that we already abide with God as Jesus abides in the Father, and Jesus abides in us, and that whole mystery of relationship articulated in John's Gospel. That's why, as inane as it may sound, I love how the Grinch stole Christmas, because there's some spiritual truths to be discovered there. When you think about it, the Grinch thinks that the essence of Christmas is in all of the stuff. So that if he can steal the big tree and the town square, if he can take all the toys, all the gifts, all the decorations, he has captured Christmas. He has stolen it. So he puts all that stuff in his big sacks and drags it back up to his man cave and then creeps down on Christmas morning to see what is going to happen. What will the Whos do now that Christmas is gone? And his moment of conversion, the moment when his heart expands out of his chest, is when he watches all the little Whos come out of their houses, gather together around where the big tree used to be, and sing their little Bahubori song, even though the tree isn't there. That's when he realizes he hasn't captured Christmas. Because Christmas isn't in the consolations, it isn't in the prizes, it's in the hearts of the people. And so it is for us. Can we still get up in the morning and sing our song of victory to the Lord, even when we live in the dark night? Can we still continue to pray when we do not feel the consolation of God's presence? Can we receive the consolations that are given to us with gratitude, but not cling to them? Just as can we receive the desolations that are given to us and not cling to them? We'll look beyond all of it to the giver of the gift, and to realize that those moments of suffering, those moments of rejection, those moments of aloneness are as needed for us as moments like this in the Eucharist, where we drink in deeply the consolation that God wants to give us. I find myself still so reliant on what other people think of me or the perceived fruitfulness of my ministry or popularity or human relationships or human esteem. And yet take all that away and we still remain beloved children of God. So perhaps it's the desolations that are the best, because they bring us to our knees and they make us realize how dependent we are on God, and that that's a good thing. So as we continue to celebrate the resurrection, we ask the Lord to fill us with gratitude, both for the consolation and the desolation, both for the healing and the hope and the joy and the power, but also for the silence, the darkness, the solitude, because God is in all of it. And somehow all of it is needed for us to be formed as disciples, as daughters and sons of His heart.